Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. McWilliams Cyberline coming at you around the internet via coast-to-coast satellite around the world and there in the USA Radio Network. Well, blew that line. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. The Deutsche Welle article. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, so anyway, I'm looking for my notes here. Give me just a moment. So, thing happened this past week. We didn't get a chance to talk to last week. So, I'm going to talk about it today. Amazing man passed away. His name is Clive Sinclair. Passed away at 81. Now, you might not know that name, but if you've been around for a while and you've been in the computer game since almost the beginning, before there was such a thing as an Apple and an IBM PC, you'll definitely know who Clive is. He's a British inventor and entrepreneur who arguably did more than anyone else to inspire a whole generation of children and a lifelong passion for computers and gaming. He died. He was 81. He rose to prominence in the early 1980s with a series of affordable home computers that offered millions their first glimpse into the world of coding, as well as the adrenaline rush of playing games on screens. And he passed away after a long battle with cancer. Now, some of the things that he has done, he was at 9 years old and he built his own radio kits and sold them and made money. Back in the day when AM transistor radios were popular, he was doing that. And then later on, he moved on and built one of the first miniature televisions. Fits in your hand, 2-inch screen, and has a little magnifying clip that clips on top of it so you can make the thing bigger. And as he went along and came up with these neat inventions and stuff, and made a lot of good money out of it, he decided that computers were too expensive. Now, remember at that time, there were some kits in the beginning, the Altair, I think, 8088, the Sol computers like research engineer Chris used to work on, and of course, you got into the Tandy Trash 80, or we call it TRS 80, models 1, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, even that simple little Model 1 was not cheap. That was a good $1,000, $2,000, and it really didn't have a lot to it. And so Clive wanted to figure out a way to bring computers to the masses. So what he did was he created the ZX80. And basically, this was a complete kit with everything you needed, including an 8080 chip, which was a standard chip at the time. And you put it all together, and you paid $99 for it, and you built it, and you had a computer. Now, if you didn't want to build it, didn't feel you were keen at it, then you turned around and paid $149, and then you got it built. Just take it out of the box and go. And then they went to the 8088, I think it is. They increased the ZX80 chip and then became the ZX81. Well, he turned around and sold these things people were able to pick them up so cheap. They learned BASIC off of them. They could hook it up to a regular television. It had a chiclet keyboard that you could work with, a power supply, and everything you needed. Then as time went by, more and more people got into this. He got a deal with Timex. And, of course, they came over to the States, even though you could still get the ZX80 and 81, and they were mass-produced and sold in stores. And Kmart carried them at the time back in the day. It was the Timex Sinclair 1000. If you go up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, you will see pictures of my Timex Sinclair 1000 in Charlie Jones's studio, because we talked about this during the tech show this week. And what was neat about it was it had 2K of memory on it. 2K, right?
Tiny. Yeah.
And then you had a backpack thing that plugged on the back and gave it 16K. And then people started making accessories for it. There's this company called Memtech, because I had one. It was a 32K pack that plugged onto the back of it, and it would hug against the back. And then you had that box 16, so for a total of 48K. And then you could take that off, put stuff in. I had an RS-232 with a memory upgrade on it. I paid $99 for, put a ribbon cable on it, RS-232 connector, plugged it into a Cat Novation 300 baud modem. Remember those? You take the handset and put it into the cups.
Those things were so slow.
Yeah, I still have one.
Yep.
Don't work very well, but you know, I've still got it. And I was able to log into bulletin boards and everything with it. So time went on. And the prices kind of waned and the popularity kind of wore off. And now I have about 5 or 10 of them because people are like, oh, I'm going to throw this dredge. You want it? Yeah, I'll take it. So now I've got about 5, 10 of them stuffed in boxes and accessories and everything else. But here's the cool thing. Clive got knighted by Queen Elizabeth for his work in all of these inventions and most of all in the ZX80 and 81. And he made millions off of it. And one of the reasons he got knighted, guess how much the cost was to produce a ZX81?
Well, I thought
the casing, the parts, everything to make
the cost.
The cost.
Well, they were sold for $99, so I'm going 50.
Try lower.
Really? Okay, 30.
Try lower.
20.
A little lower.
15.
You're red hot, Doc. Try one more.
$10. Really?
That every one of these kits, from the chips, the parts, the board, the casing, everything to make up that ZX80, 81, Timex Sinclair 1000, his cost was $10 a unit.
Wow.
And then sold it for $99. Now, when you got to the States, I think the Sinclair 1000 went out at $49. Uh-huh. I tried to do it at 99, a few people bought it, and then it dropped to 49, then it got down to 29, then down to 19, and then it got to the point to say, please take our inventory, and there's nobody buying them. And you could still find them on eBay. I was looking at some of the stuff on eBay, and there's some kits, the original ones somebody's got in boxes, still kind of in mint condition, that are running about $50. Now, you're going to have an old-school TV because it's got an RF modulator in it. We got to put it on Channel 3 or Channel 4. And it's still fun to play with and show the kids and the grandkids. Hey, look what I did back in my day. You know, that kind
well, we,
of thing.
We like to do that, yeah.
Yeah, and they even had a magazine called Sync. And I used to have some of those magazines. And in moves and stuff, I think I lost them over time. Well, I found some on eBay that somebody had, and it was a Christmas one that I used to have. It had a picture of a Timex Sinclair dressed as Santa Claus on top of a chimney. So I ordered it. And there's tons of these ads in the back of all these manufacturers that were out there building third-party stuff for them. I mean, they were pretty much in competition with Radio Shack with all of those things. Then, of course, you had the Timex Sinclair got sidelined by the Commodore 64 and all these other devices, Atari and everything came out. And then eventually Apple and IBM kind of solidified the standards, but kind of like the Beta and VHS. And then a lot of these guys just went to the wayside. So Clive did some amazing things, and he was so much said, well, why would you invent that? And he says, well, you know, you produce it, there's no need. He says, yeah, there's a need. They just haven't realized it yet. So that's what spurred all his inventions. And then the only thing that he really sucked at, and Elon Musk had a condolence tweet and talked about the car. And basically had a three-wheeled car that thought would revolutionize the automotive industry and that it would save gas. It was electric and all these things. It just didn't do well compared to the Sinclairs and everything else. But I was very sad to hear that Clive had passed because he had done so much. And there's another guy that he sparked. I don't know if you ever heard of Sir Alan Sugar. Have you heard of him?
No. Well, now, him I have not heard of. Sinclair I had.
Yeah. Well, Sugar is, think of the Donald Trump of England.
Uh-huh.
And he was in electronics similar to Sinclair, and he built stereo systems and stuff under the name Amstrad. And then later on, he created computers. Saw what Clive was doing and says, well, I can build a better computer. And his were kind of based like the Tandy 1000 and the IBM-based systems and stuff. Sold tons of them across Europe and then eventually came to the U.S. I used to sell Amstrads at Highland Superstores. And then somewhere on the way, they got bought out and then they got defunct. But he made all his money on this, got knighted. And you know the show The Apprentice?
Yes.
Well, that's the, you know, the one with Donald Trump.
Sure.
Well, that's not an American show. That was a British show. And when it came out, guess who was the Donald Trump in the British version of The Apprentice?
I'm guessing he was.
Sir Alan Sugar.
Neat.
And he was far worse than Trump.
Really?
Oh, yes. Now, there's some stuff of him on YouTube, some excerpts of the shows. So Clive and Sugar were the two main driving forces of electronics and computers, and of course spread to the rest of the world. And of course, not too long ago, remember 10 years ago, they started doing this thing again about how do we get computers cheap and in the hands of third world countries. And guess what we got out of it?
I don't recall, but I mean, laptops everywhere. Was there a specific one?
The Raspberry Pi.
Really?
Raspberry Pi is like the newer version of the Sinclair.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. And our engineer Dave here knows because he runs just about everything off those little guys. And they're amazing. And
yeah.
So I look at this. I said, this is what Clive had envisioned. And somebody else, you know, consortium got a hold of it and built on it. And you can build all these things around it in a hard drive, whatever. And it's the size of a pack of cigarettes. It's smaller than the Sinclair and does so much more. So
and really, the large size that it is really just so you can have a container that holds it. The size of these things, the Raspberry Pis, are tiny. You know,
yeah,
they're more
in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, they're more. Seems like more of like a stick of gum or a little bit bigger than that, I guess.
Yeah.
Depending on which one you get.
And you got USBs on it. You've got I think you've got a HDMI on it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things and chips all ready to go.
Yeah.
Run Linux off of it. There's even one that runs Windows.
So the ones that do all that fancy stuff, they are a bit bigger. Sure. That they run HDMI on them and are able to power all this stuff up. You can get so many of these things. You run Linux on it and you're just running a wonderful operating system on a computer that's so small, and they're so powerful compared to, oh, I don't know, 5 years ago, what they could do. The chips on there are pretty darn decent. Now, are they as fast as some of the chips today? No, but they're good. They're good chips, and they're able to do a lot of the things that you need to do. If you wanted to do anything like word processing, that's great. You could do all of the standard software that's out there today that you can get on Linux, most of it's fairly easy to run, and they're versatile chips. So they're cheap. They're wonderful. You can, you know, like you said, deck of cards container that can hold the whole thing. And it's, frankly, you can also run those things on get a battery pack with them and run them with solar.
Yeah,
there's so many things. Yeah.
And all of this started from the ZX80 and 81s. And they're smaller than the ZX81s. They do so much more, but Clive made that spark happen. And thank him for that. And goodbye, Clive, and wherever you are, I hope it's good.
You know, you can also add in the Bluetooth. They've got different aspects of things that you can add in to make these things faster and more connective, more productive, and help you out just all the way around.
Okay.
Wi-Fi as well.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Bob's got some more stuff to tell us as well. Listen to McWilliam Cyberline. Nick Williams, Cyberline with you. 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Hosts 2020 at cyber-line.com, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and always on the Tweety, Cyberline USA. By the way, look up Cyberline with Mick Williams on iHeartRadio for Charlie Jones, and be able to see both our shows on the iHeartRadio app in the podcast section. So if you missed the show, you should be able to pick up our shows there as well. All right, Bob. So Rockstar was talking to somebody, I believe was a sex therapist, before we came on. So you said you got something to follow that up with? Oh, hold on.
Security. Google Photos locked folder feature, which lets you hide sensitive photos and videos from your main library and secure them in a passcode or biometric protected folder, is coming to all devices running Android 6 and above. The feature was released exclusively on newer Pixel phones in June. Google hasn't provided an exact date for when the feature is releasing more widely, noting that only... it's rolling out soon. So when it was announced, the feature on stage at Google I.O. in May, Google gave the very wholesome example of the feature being used by parents hiding photos of a newly purchased puppy from their children. But I think it's fair to say that most people are going to have very different photos stored in their locked folder. I don't know about you, but in all the times I've had to wrench my phone out of someone's hand to stop them from scrolling through my photos, it's never been because of a puppy picture. Let's see. With locked folder feature in Google Photos, you can add photos to a passcode protected space, and they won't show up as you scroll through photos or other apps on your phone. Locked folder is launching first on Google Pixel and more Android devices throughout the year. That was from a tweet that that Google had posted on May 18th, 2021. You set up a locked folder by going into the library utilities, locked folder in the Google Photo app. Then existing photos can be manually moved to the folder. The Pixel camera app is able to save new shots directly to the folder. But it's unclear whether this feature will also be available for other Android camera apps. Note that any images saved in the locked folder won't be backed up to the cloud. Probably a good thing. Anyway, so new features coming in and locking photos that we don't want other people to see. You know, there's other reasons to have a locked folder out there and just not want to have all your photos available to everybody.
Yeah.
But, hey, that's one of them.
Okay. So, I only got a minute 30 on this, don't I?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll come back. We'll come back to it in a minute. Did you hear about the guy that was a drug dealer in Philadelphia? And then all of a sudden, he's on YouTube doing stuff. And he ends up stealing cable and other stuff. And he builds a multimillion-dollar illegal streaming empire, according to authorities, and they aim to convict him and seize him in millions of assets. And if he goes to jail, he could take up to 500 years in jail for what he's done.
Oh, boy.
And you had mentioned something about, wow, they go after the streamers.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're looking at, are you kidding me, that long for doing something like this? Now, granted, don't get me wrong, that wrong is wrong, throw him in jail, but it seems like sometimes they really go through the... Oh, gosh. I guess it's because the media is in their court or something that, yes, when it comes down to this kind of stuff, it's like, oh, we're going to put you in jail forever. And it just seems like too long. It seems like the penalties
like
are just over
whole
the top.
Thing with Napster, where her mother had got sued for what, thousands of dollars because the kids were downloading music and she knew nothing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just some of these things, they're over the top on what they want to make the penalties for.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we can take a break. And you know, Rockstar was talking to a sex therapist earlier, and it's like, well, we're going to take that one step further, but we're going to throw space in the mix. Listen to the Cyberline. We'll be right back.
Wow.